Well, grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't encounter ashes that much in our society these days. We live in a culture that sanitizes everything. Anything unsightly, such as ashes, has been removed from view. Although there was one time where ashtrays were everywhere. Can you remember those days? Can you recall when you were able to smoke on airplanes? Restaurants and all that. The lighters in the cars were actually used for cigarettes. Little story about that. Not only did I grow up in a house full of smokers, and by full of I mean five adults in my household when I was a child, smoked. Maybe why I'm the one with the lung problems, but that's another story. So to add insult to injury, my parents had a car wash back in western New York where I grew up. And so it's probably before the day, like, you know how they have all these California carcinogenic warnings on everything? They didn't worry about that stuff back then. So for extra change, my parents would let me climb through, okay, get this, hold your seats, the piles out back where they would dump the stuff from the car vacuum cleaners. You know, like when you just go through the hose and you suck up and you empty out the ashtrays and all that, and just these big piles of dust. Well, there's money in them there, Hills, that were left over from the ashtrays. And so I would sit there and pick through ashes and cigarette butts and get a few dimes and nickels and all that. I know, it's terrible. Please don't call the authorities on my parents. Little did I know that sitting in ashes was actually a biblical reference. But now the ashtrays in our cars tend to hold cell phones and sunglasses more than ashes. You don't see them in restaurants and hotel lobbies anymore. Now, you might have to deal with ashes if you have an actual wood-burning fireplace, but even more, that's more commonly replaced by, gas fireplaces, much cleaner. So rarely in our very hygienic lives do we engage with ashes, let alone willingly put them on ourselves. But for one day a year, we encounter ashes up close, personal. We put them on our foreheads. We let them visibly mark us. We let our dirt be seen. And that day is today, Ash Wednesday. So ashes are a symbol of repentance. For centuries, Christians have imposed ashes as a gesture of humility and penitence. We even read about it in the Bible. For example, Job, in the book of Job, he abased himself. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Prophet Daniel pleaded with God in prayer and in fasting and sackcloth and ashes. We're told in the book of Esther that the entire Jewish population, the Jewish people, they fasted and wore ashes in the time of their lament. Prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel summon their hearers to repent with ashes. Jeremiah says, O daughter of my people, put on sackcloth and roll in ashes. And Jesus Christ himself refers to repentance and sackcloth and ashes when he says, Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. All of these biblical references really to associate ashes with repentance and why we still do this today. On Ash Wednesday, this solemn and penitential day, ashes remind us of our need for repentance. Why are ashes themselves a symbol of repentance? Well, I guess maybe a number of obvious reasons, but let's think about it. For one, you know, ashes were typically burned in some sort of a mound of firewood or something that was on the ground. So in order to sit in ashes, you had to humble yourself and go low. So just the fact of getting down closer to the ground was an act of humility, a stance of humility before God. And we humble ourselves, even though we remain standing. It represents that going low into the ashes. Second thing is very obvious. Ashes are dirty. So they remind us of the filth of our sin. And in repentance, we're acknowledging that sin still clings to us. We look very shiny on the outside, but the stain of sin is still with us. And then Thirdly, ashes are associated with death, which is the penalty for sin. Remember back to the Garden of Eden, after humanity's first sin, God condemned mankind, saying to the first man and woman, "Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust." Remember, he formed the man out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into it. "For you are dust. To dust you shall return." Sometimes at funerals we say ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So when we repent, we're confessing that we deserve death for our transgressions. The fact that we are alive any day, any given day, is a gift, because what we really are is dust, and that is where we will return. And so these are the words that I spoke over each of you as I put some of you better artwork crosses than others. I'm pretty sure I saw people laughing at my cross on my forehead when they were coming forward. I'm hoping that that's what it was and not anything personal in me, but ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's a reminder of our sin. It's an act of humility. And it's a meaningful reminder to us of how limited our human existence is. And that in this sinful world, even death is a part of life. So that's the symbol of repentance, ashes. The reasons for our repentance, quite frankly, I'm going to give you two. The first is our sin. This is maybe even a more important question. Why should we repent at all? The text that Joel read for us earlier from the prophet Joel, he said, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster." Two different times in this text he calls us to return to the Lord, right? Return to me with all your heart, and return to the Lord, for he is gracious. And that word that we have translated there, repent, it literally means to turn around. So as we repent, we're turning from our sin and we're making a 180 return to the Lord. And note, this is important to note, this call to return, it's not for the pagan sinners who don't believe in God. It's for God's people that he's saying, return to me. And so it's addressed to you and I as well. Why do we return? Why do we turn? Why should we repent? Quite frankly, because we're sinful. So on our second reading today, we're reminded of the words that we say so often in our liturgy. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Reminds me of a time a man was praying to God and he said, "Lord God, I haven't lied, gossiped, been unkind, or lost my temper. I haven't had an impure thought or selfish moment. But now it's time for me to get out of bed." In other words, in that, I guess, what sounded like a very bold prayer becoming a very humble prayer, the recognition that it won't be long before just being awake, arising from sleep, that we are going to be encountering sin. In fact, sin is constantly on us, and so is the penalty of sin, death. It's continually before us. So that's the first reason that we repent, is because of our sin. But the second reason, it's also in that reading from Joel, return to the Lord, for he is gracious. Right? This is the reason for repentance. It's the fact that God is merciful. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. So we repent because we're sinful, but we also return to the Lord because we know he's merciful. And so this kind of is an entrance into this whole theme that we're going to look at week after week throughout Lent, and it's this idea of God's mercy. We're taking a look at our lives in view of God's mercy toward us, his gracious, abounding and steadfast love. Because of his Son, we can see our lives as one of mercy. Jesus came into our sin-filled world. He took upon himself the filth of our sin, 2 Corinthians said. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus suffered and died to pay the penalty for the sin that these ashes mark, to die the death that these ashes remind us of. He did this so that we will be forgiven, so that you will be washed clean of this filth that tarnishes your God-given image, your spiritual life. This blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What good news! Right? If we recognize when we're coming to receive these ashes, or we're coming here to confess our sins, we're coming to receive communion this evening, we recognize that we are sinful. That's good, but that is only the first part. We also need to recognize that God is good, and because of His Son, we are cleansed of that sin. We do well to remember it, but not too well to dwell in our sin. In fact, He promises that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why these imposition of ashes today is made in the sign of the cross, or a reasonable facsimile thereof, as we say. I place the ashes on your forehead with the horizontal and the vertical lines, right, which make up the cross, and remind us that we've been where the forgiveness of our sins comes from, Christ's cross. This sign in itself attests to the mercy of God that is on us. We're marked with the sign of the cross in our baptism. We just had a baptism recently. We've got another one coming up. I cannot remember exactly which, but I know it's coming up soon. We've got a couple more baptisms coming up. And when we baptize a child, we baptize them in the name of the cross, right? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then we also place that sign of the cross on their forehead and on their heart. It's very moving for me today. I don't know where little Vincent is right now, but probably one of the younger crosses that, ash crosses that I put on a baby. He's just a couple months old, right? And what a reminder, even as young and fresh as he is in this world, he's also marked by sin. And he needs the same grace and mercy that we speak of tonight. So that's the reason for our repentance. And then finally, the reason for our repentance. I had three. I was thinking I only had two. This one, I just want to remind you why we repent, not just today, but always. We repent on Ash Wednesday. We're beginning the season of repentance for 40 days for the season of Lent. But we need to be repenting every day of our lives, because God's mercy is also upon us every day of our life. You know, thinking of Ash Wednesday, there was a pastor in a small rural community. He was preparing for Ash Wednesday. For many of you don't know that the way that we make the ashes is we take the palm branches from Palm Sunday, and then we save them till they dry out, and then we burn them and crush them down into a fine powder, and you have the stuff that Ash Wednesday ashes are made of. But apparently, this pastor hadn't really prepared, or he thought he had them, and he couldn't find the palms from Palm Sunday to make the ashes. So he did what he thought was the next best, and he went out to the brush pile behind the church where there was the old Christmas tree that had decorated the church. It was all dried out now, and so he cut some of the branches off of it, burnt them into ashes. And so then when Ash Wednesday service came and the pastor used these ashes to mark the foreheads of his parishioners, he thought everything was fine, until later that evening he got a phone call from an angry member, a person telling him they could not get the ashes off of their forehead. The mark was somewhat indelible, so the pastor tried to rinse the ashes from his own forehead, and it was there on his as well, and he came to find out that every person that had been at the service had this ash mark on their forehead for many days, as it slowly faded away. Apparently what had happened was that the pine branches that had been used had been sprayed with some sort of a sealant or protectant or some sort of a chemical that, when burned, turned into a whole completely different thing, a dye that remained stained on the skin of people who received those ashes. This unintended but important message that came out of this little mishap was that repentance isn't for one day only. Our repentance is to be a permanent mark on our lives. And the cross, the symbol of God's mercy, is also to be visible on our lives more than just on Ash Wednesday. So on this Ash Wednesday, during this entire season of Lent, and every day, may our repentance be something that marks our lives permanently, but one that is always done in view of that other permanent mark on our life, God's mercy on us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed our sin to us, but we thank you also for showing us that when we sin, we can freely repent and return to you, and that when we do, you will always extend to us your gracious hand of mercy. May we live lives of continual repentance in view of your continued mercy toward us in your Son, Jesus. It's in his holy name that we pray. Amen. And so let us now together profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I invite you to stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. We join our hearts in prayer. And the response this evening is, Lord, have mercy. Almighty and merciful God, we approach your throne of grace today as sinners who require your cleansing. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Lord, have mercy. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord, have mercy. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Lord, grant me your grace. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.